Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, your host, and today we are in the middle of a series simply titled Time. This is part six, and let's talk about this. Time and your friendships as a ministry leader. One of the questions that I ask pastors, and I ask the question to determine their ability to thrive in life and leadership. And the question that I ask them often is this: tell me about your friendships. Do you have close friends here in the church? Do you have close friends nearby, outside the church, but in the area, folks that you get with? I know that friendship, and you do too. I know that friendship in ministry is essential for health, both in our personal lives and in our ministry lives. So today, let's talk about it. Let's talk about friendships in our lives. I recently looked at a study and found that 65% of pastors really struggle with isolation. Well, let's deal with it directly. As a ministry leader, you know this. As we age, it will be harder to keep the stabilizing friendships that are essential for life and leadership excellence in our lives. Stated simply, it's easy for our lives as ministry leaders to become developed professionally, but diminished personally because we lack the right kind of friendships. Superficiality is ruling the day in many ministry lives. Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline, said this: superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is a primary spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. You know this. No one really matures in life and in ministry leadership well. They don't reach a place of excellence because they lack the right kind of friendships. Listen to Paul's instruction to the church at Ephesus when he talks to them about their connectedness with each other. Ephesians 4:14 through 16. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, that is, Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Notice the progression here in these few verses. There's instability that is met with the right kind of friendship, and that friendship produces maturity and ministry effectiveness. The determining factor that mediates, listen now, between instability and maturity is, you guessed it, friendship. And friendship that produces two qualities: truthfulness, truth-telling, and lovingness. Ephesians 4:15 is the key verse for us here today. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. I'd like to make it really practical because you and I as ministry leaders live in this world. It's harder and harder to develop the right kind of friendships and keep them in our lives without having an aggressive posture that says, Lord, please help me because I am determined to get the right kind of friends in my life. Let's talk about two big things here. Number one, we really need to build friendships where truth-telling is normative. Truth tellers are far easier to find when you are younger than when you are older. The reality for many small church pastors and large church pastors. But think of the small church pastor and how quickly this comes into their lives. There is a professional separation that easily diminishes their personal friendships where truth-telling is pronounced. Nobody's asking, where were you? What did you do? Did you work hard this week? How did the message come together? Are you spending time with your family? I appreciate the transparency of one leader. Let me share his story. He ended up building a large ministry in America. Early on in Bill's life, he had many friends, but in his words, he had no keepers, those who would hold him accountable. He was routinely away from his wife and kids for many nights, many weeks in a row. He was experiencing severe symptoms of exhaustion and physical deterioration. What brought about the change was a godly man. Now, this is early in his ministry. This wonderful godly man went to him and told him this, "You're not going to make it. Bill, you're moving too fast and making too many wrong choices. You need help. You need brothers who can keep watch over your life and question you when you head down wrong paths." That eventually led to Bill getting two or three men around him. They moved into his life and were truth tellers. They asked questions like this, "What would your wife say is the greatest contribution to her life? In what area, Bill, is it hardest for you to obey the Lord? Bill, what Christian character trait is your trademark? Bill, what trait do you lack the most and you really need?" He commented about that. He said, "Penetrating questions like that took me below the level of superficiality to a level of accountability. Questions like that freed me." He said, "These guys came into my life and said things that really shook me, like, 'Bill, you're not spending enough time with your wife. What you said in your Sunday message made you look better than we really know you to be.'" I get tickled when I read that one. Some people would say those men had no business being involved like that in his life. He didn't say that at the time, though. Rather, he would say that they saved me. What is interesting about that is that later on in life, he came into a season that led to his indecorous resignation. There's indication of major moral, ethical issues, and he failed, largely by the estimation of many, in ministry. He's not active today, as far as I know, in ministry leadership. What happened? I suspect this. It was easier to have truth tellers in his life when he was younger, but not when he was older. I want you to listen to me for a moment because there's a maxim, a key leadership truth that we need to embrace. There are three kinds of sins that we deal with. When you're younger, you probably deal far more with the first two, the sin of omission and the sin of commission, not spending enough time with whomever, you fill in the blank, or doing certain things. Those are very pronounced. But in the trappings of ministry leadership and your success and your privileges with time and where you go and a lack of accountability, the sin of addition, three kinds of sins, omission, commission, and addition. Those are, by the way, in the parable of the sower. And it is in the sin of addition, worries, riches, pleasures, things that we allow into our lives, that a good friendship will come back and say, "You know, you're being consumed with worry over something that you need us to hold hands with you on. You know, you need a good friend that will speak to you about not encumbering yourself with certain riches, not setting your standard of living at a certain place that you become consumed more with things and position and protecting that than you are in loving the Lord and serving others." I know that's tough, But that kind of tough perspective comes through a really godly friendship. And it is more difficult as you go longer in ministry to have somebody that will talk to you about the sin of addition. Are you really protecting power? Are you really protecting your security? Are you really just deceiving yourself? Are you really looking at ministry fruitfulness? It is so easy to be misled by our own deceiving thoughts when we do not have somebody to speak the truth in love. So, build friendships where truth-telling is normative. The second thing is this. We'll also have to be aggressive about building friendships where the focus is on loving wholeness. Listen again to the key verse here, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Do you catch these three major dynamics? Find somebody that will speak to you, speak truthfully to you, and speak restoratively to you. Speak the truth in love. We all need someone to help us enter into our lives and help us in a season of darkness and uncertainty, and we all face those. A good godly friend will rescue us. Some years ago, Dr. James Dobson was giving a lecture series for faculty and students at a seminary. He talked about the subject of inferiority. During his talk, he talked about a boy named Danny. Danny was a young man whose grief was intolerable, and he was so focused on his inadequacy, eventually his grief turned to anger. After he had spoken that day, Dr. Dobson received an anonymous letter from one of the seminarians. Let me read it to you. "Dear Dr. Dobson," this seminarian said, "I'm one of the Dannys you spoke of in chapel today. Believe me, for I have experienced this for as long as I can remember. It is a miserable way to live. Yes, I'm a student at the seminary, but that doesn't make the problem any less acute. Through the years, particularly the last five, I have periodically gained a revived hope that somehow this problem can be overcome, go away or something. Then to my great disappointment, I find that it is still very much a part of me. That's when I lose hope of ever conquering it. I want to be a minister of the gospel and feel that is God's will. At the same time, I am aware of this paralyzing effect this problem has on me. I want so badly to be adequate so that I could better serve God and others. I wish I could talk with you, even for a short time. However, I realize your busy schedule. At any rate, thank you for coming to the seminary." Since that broken young man had not identified himself, Dr. Dobson read his letter the following day in chapel. After the lecture that morning, the young man came and introduced himself. He stood there with tears streaming down his cheeks as he spoke of his overwhelming sense of inadequacy. Later, an administrator of the school said that was the last young man whom we thought would have this problem. His inferiority was a secret to others, yet it was tormenting himself. Sitting in the audience that same day was another student with the same kind of problems of this overwhelming sense of inadequacy. He, however, never wrote a letter, or did he identify himself. And Dr. Dobson said 3 weeks after he left the campus, he got a report that there was a young man from that seminary who had hanged himself in the basement. And that young man hung there for 5 days before anybody ever realized he's missing. Isolation is a killer in many ways. I know that's a drastic story. But I am telling you, 65% of ministry leaders today deal with an overwhelming sense of isolation. So I want to encourage you to be aggressive. And the older you are in ministry, the more privileged you are, and it starts pretty early. maybe during your first pastorate, where there's not a whole lot of accountability, there's not a whole lot of connectedness outside of the professional aspect of your ministry. You're going to have to be aggressive about friendships, and you'll have to build into your life a privilege. You'll have to tell them, you really want this. I need a truth teller, and I need somebody to help me stay healthy. Talk to me about my sins of omission and commission. I'll be open about that with you. You be open with me. But ask them as well, would you also talk with me about the sin of addition? Things that would come in and encumber me. Things that would really drive me down a wrong path. Now, I know that I've spent a lot of time today talking about aggressively bringing the right kind of friends into our lives. But I want to close with this. Also, this is from Dr. Dobson. I want to close with, how do you relate to another individual that's going through a dark time? I find no better advice for being the right kind of friend than what I have read in Dr. Dobson's book, Hide or Seek. He's talking about the role of therapy for a broken patient, but I think it deeply applies to ministerial friendships. Let me close us out with this. The most successful approach to therapy for a broken patient, Dr. Dobson said, I firmly believe, is to convey the following message with conviction, though perhaps not with words. Life has been tough and you've had your share of suffering. To this point, you've faced your problems without much human support, and there have been times when your despair has been overwhelming. Let me now share that burden. From this moment forward, I am interested in you as a person. You deserve and shall have my respect. As best as possible, I want you to quit worrying about your troubles. Instead, confide them in me. Our concentration will be on the present and the future, and together we will seek appropriate solutions. Hey, isn't that the kind of friend in ministry that we need? Somebody that enters in. And I want to encourage you, just in closing here now, be aggressive on three things. Find truth tellers in your life. Build that in your marriage if that is possible. But build that into your life with a number of key people. Also, find folks that will help you be healthy. Be transparent with you on sins of commission, omission, and addition. And I'd like to encourage you, be a friend today. Not only be aggressive about getting the right friends in your life, but be aggressive about being a friend. And enter into somebody else's world where you can tell them, hey, we're going to walk through this together. You may not have a lot of people around you, but I want you to confide in me, and I want us to be partnered as we walk through this season, and you're not alone. We're going to do it together. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you, head over to paultotimothy.com. You'll find a couple major resources. One is a resource for you to mentor your ministry leaders, find them, develop them and empower them. And then secondly, if you're interested, we want to partner with you to start a church-based training institute right there in your church. Now, this is a partnered certification between us and one of the leading seminaries in America. And we want to bring this resource to you. You can initiate that by simply getting in touch with us. Go to paultotimothy.com and explore these resources. Looking forward to our next time together. God bless you.